the switch from no relationship with the opposite sex to bring the person home. So at what point do parents switch that way? And then sometimes it becomes a lot of pressure on the young people. So today we have them in the studio, not the parents. We're speaking to, you know, some young people who have already started experiencing one form of pressure or the other from their parents, who have had, you know, the endorsement. Oh, now you can have a friend. You can bring the person home and all that. And then they start guiding you into probably winning that person over because they have realized that the girl or the boy you're seeing is a good person and they would like you to be with the person. Then they start giving you all sorts of low-key, subtle pressure. They start mounting it at some point and then it becomes a demand, you know. So that's the conversation we're going to have. They're going to help us go back to find out from the no relationship stage to what were they saying? What were their parents' fears? Did they even understand them at that age? And then right now, interestingly, it gets to this point where you are relaxed and watching and they are agitating and you're wondering why. So that's the conversation we're having this morning. We'll be having a series of these conversations because there's so much. Earlier this week, I had an encounter. You know, I visited a rehab home where, I mean, that place, there were lots of girls. It was just a place for girls who are abusing, you know, one substance or the other. And the stories. I posted on my page that we need to wake up as parents. We have a lot of work to do. When I heard that now the drugs and the substances they abuse, they put them into cakes, they put them into sobolo they are drinking. Some of them will even mix it with, infuse it with their fried rice, jollof rice, water, whatever it is. It comes in, they're in candies, it comes in different forms. So if you're waiting to see that your child probably is puffing, you know, I mean, you know, the regular way they puff it, if that's what the child is doing, then I'm sorry, you're getting it wrong. It's in lots of ways that they grind it and put it in their shito when they are going to school. I was overwhelmed, you know, and these things are happening. And then a lot of them, 14-year-olds, are in rehab. So imagine how early they started the blind side of their parents. And don't say that it's just boys. The girls are in it too. Some statistics I chanced on even says that there are more girls doing these things than boys. So I beg, we need to sit up, open our eyes. It's important we go out there, look for the money and, you know, take care of them. But we can't take our eyes off them because we feel like, oh, now they are adults, they can be on their own. And then we can also have some breathing space to do some of the things we need to do. We can't take our eyes off them. We need to learn, be ahead of them and be able to guide them. So we're going to get into the conversation right now. Say that again.
Good morning.
Great. How are you doing?
Amazing.
Okay, Lois is joining us in a bit. So we're having a conversation on the switch. I know you have all experienced it, right? Where your parents are telling you, as you're going to school, don't go and do this, don't go and do that. Don't do that and all that. And then at some point in time, they start asking you, so who are you seeing? You wonder, are you not the same person some 2 days ago you were saying this and this
exactly.
and this? And what happened? Yeah. And quite often, we don't like you to ask us what changed or what happened. You just have to obey and be going. I mean, it's quite a difficult subject for a lot of us parents, you know. But I want to learn from you how you navigated that space. Chris, I'll start with you. So I want us to go back a little bit to, you know, those times when you were being warned. How was it done? What were you told? And were you given reasons why you shouldn't?
Good morning. So my experience was mainly from the point where you had to focus on your books, right? Because it seems to be the only way out. At that point, you don't have to go and be doing other things that could prevent or just put a spoke
distract
in the wheel
you.
Of your journey in going to school. So if you mess up with school, whatever is supposed to be taken to be used to take care of you will be transferred to
the
baby coming and whatever. So your mind has to be on the fact that no woman, nothing, just focus on your books, marry your books and give birth to success, as they say. So that was the entire conversation from childhood. Yeah.
Okay, and you weren't curious. What I mean, they said it to you, you listen, and that was it.
Well, no. I mean, yeah, with
young
with,
people with, will always have their way.
I mean, with adolescence comes that exuberance, that desire to want to know new things. What are they hiding from us?
Mm-hmm.
What are they not telling us? And for me, because I loved to read, I had come across different articles that suggested that African parents will not tell you exactly what it is.
Yeah.
From way before, everything is couched into proverbs, into sayings, into some traditional belief, and linking it to some form of spirituality. So they are not telling you exactly what the actual thing is. So I'm like, maybe there's more to know. Let me try and find out for myself. So I can tell you, as of class six, people thought I had already had sex.
Hey.
Yes.
Why? What were you learning?
No, there are things I could contribute to very easily, and it's like, if you tell them, no, I've not done it before, hey, Chris, be careful. These things you are saying, only a professional and someone who has had experience practically will be able to say things like this. But it was because I just decided for myself.
You are curious.
Yes. Read wide. Learn about this. Matter of fact, you watched a few things, just to be able to say things better. And also put myself in a space where I know if I do decide that I want to get into this, I'm doing it because I know about it and not because I'm just curious.
But your parents didn't know that you were learning otherwise.
No.
And these conversations, you never had them in their presence, right?
Nope.
In their presence, you listened.
Oh, yes.
You were obeying everything.
Absolutely.
Then. Yeah, bro.
At that point, I think you were the minority. The minority will have their say and the majority will have their way.
Wow. But you look back to you're quite mature today. You look back to the conversations your parents were having with you at the time. What nuggets do you pick from them? Let me put it this way. What do you think they did wrong in the way they communicated these things to you?
I think, okay, let me just make it specific to me. I think for me, they didn't quite accept the fact that I was growing and maybe I'm a bit matured in terms of being able to have conversations like this. And so at the time when I was ready, it was like, you are still a child.
Mm.
You are not 18 yet, so we cannot have these kind of conversations with you. And it's spanned from relationships to their own lives to even career prospects, different things. So it wasn't the kind of parenting, I should say, that would encourage conversations like this at an early age. It was, I think that for me is something I felt wasn't too good. I hope to do better, but I was hoping that, okay, maybe from 11, 12, when I actually knew a lot about these things, I would have had my father or my mother sitting me down having conversations like this. Because, Adam, when you are watching your the telenovelas and all of these things on TV, some scenes come and then someone is giving you a side eye, based on what is happening, but you cannot talk about it, but you understand everything going on.
Mm-hmm.
And either they'll even switch the channel in an attempt to not get you to watch these things. But I'm tech savvy. I was always online. I see before you even see it, So I wish they had started that conversation way earlier.
Where do you think the gap was? Was it because they were ignorant of how to communicate it, or is just cultural?
I think it's more cultural than just being ignorant about it. Because I know they know. I really know they know. And like I'm saying, it's not just the cultural bit, but the family system that we're into. Maybe what they had also,
of course,
you know, been indoctrinated into. So I realized that across, you know, cousins, aunties, uncles, they all have a certain way. When they are speaking to you, even about their father, you know, about their grandparents, you get to realize that the family is very conservative. They don't really push to talk about things like this. Yeah.
I see. But now there's pressure. There is, right?
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit.
So I mean, I'll come back to find out. So how did they switch? I'm sure mommy especially. Were you ushered into the switch where you're now told that you have to get a girlfriend, you have to do this because you're expected to have children and all that. I'll come back to find out how were you ushered into this phase of your life that I'm sure now your mother can probably call you and ask you, so how is your girlfriend? You will say she's fine, you know. So we'll get into that.
Sure.
And some of these conversations for me, I also use it to really educate myself because I am there, you see. Mm. And they'll come and ask you, mommy, so at what age did you say, how is this important, really? You know, but we have the conversations.
Yeah.
We talk about every single thing.
Nice.
I remember we went on a vacation and we watched a movie, Love and Basketball. It's a very old movie, you know. And you get to a point and you hear them ranting. Hey, I just keep quiet and I'm watching them. So when we finish, I'm like, but why were you people so upset? And then everybody starts giving you their opinions and everything. That's why you know that, look, these people, they are very far advanced. And if you don't work, then you have an issue. We didn't finish it. Every time they're on my neck, it's been like over 2 months. And they're asking me, when are we going to finish the movie? Interestingly, they have watched it. They have concluded the movie. We haven't watched it as a family, so we are waiting for that one. Anyway, let me come to you, Aja. How are you doing?
Amazing.
Aja is the baby of the three of them. So I'm going to find out from you also. I mean, the conversations that we had with you. Because I remember when we spoke, Aja says, I have a best friend.
Exactly.
Mommy and Daddy knows you have a best friend.
Exactly.
They approve of it.
Yes.
Okay. So before then, let's go back. So when you were not expected to have a friend, let alone a best friend.
So I want to say good morning to your amazing listeners. And do I even start from? So I'll pick it from the whole period stage of menstruation. Yeah. Because even though my mom never like sat me down to talk about these period stuff, as at 11, you know, we were getting this kind of education from school.
Uh-huh.
Reproductive system, that was the most exciting thing to study. The most exciting thing, you know, when they pick up the boobs and then, you know, everybody's super excited in the classroom. So fortunately for me, my school actually had a time where we actually had this woman called Miss BB who would come to school and come and educate the girls. So we got the education from there as compared to getting the knowledge from our parents. So they used to come visit us, come with always and stuff like that. And, you know, they come and they tell you, know, when you start menstruating and you see a man run, you know, you get pregnant and things like that. You know, at that young age, it was really scary. And even though I had not started my period yet, I was unsure. So I'm like, what is going on here? It means, you know, that kind of stigma. Mm-hmm. When you sit by a guy and he's like, oh, she's bleeding, like that kind of thing. And the whole pregnancy thing, drop out of school. It was an advice I took for myself from these meetings to not like have sex until I think I'm ready for it. And even though I had not started the whole cycle thing, I was still scared of pregnancy. Crazy, I was still scared. Exactly. So when this thing, when the cycle started, even...
And you didn't get to share these fears with your parents?
Not at all. It was a thing. It was a personal thing, you know. As though I'm growing in my own space.
Yeah.
And at age 11 to 12, yeah, within that age. So when this whole thing started, as a Ghanaian mom that I have, she was a bit confused because she didn't know how to, you know, start this whole thing, mm-hmm. you know, it's like a bit of shyness. I don't know how to put it. And, you know, they had this, like, local names for it, like Wire Bra. Mm-hmm. I felt like it was too heavy. Like, can you just say something nice?
Yeah.
And, you know, they'll move you. My mom actually moved me from one woman to another, like older women, because she felt like she was not capable enough.
And this is Najwa in just her in her early 20s. This is not too far from us.
Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly. So she felt as though she would not be able to
do good with the subject.
Exactly.
Wow.
So she took me to, you know, the elderly friends and aunties, and it was actually one horror movie to the other because,
Jesus. Because I feel your torture.
I'm telling you, I was so tortured. So you know, when this whole thing started, then she's like, oh no, this is not really the first one. Let's wait and then let's get more signs. Let's see how heavy it can get to actually accept the fact that you have started the whole thing. So it was actually a draining stage for me. Like, what is going on here?
Because I'm sorry, Miss BB.
Because Miss BB says, when you see the blood, it means you have started the cycle.
Yeah.
So, like, let's get straight to the point, you know?
Yeah.
And she had to take me. Finally, this whole thing started. And it was looking like a ritual in the first place. Because you wake up and then you have, you know, a tour and egg. And I was like, Yo. You're relaxed. And unfortunately, I was not raised in a home of both parents, okay? Mm. I'm a single parent child. Yeah, so I just grew up with my mom, and we were so close growing up to the extent that if a guy tells me he likes me, I'm able to tell her.
Right.
Of course, you know, she likes the whole sex topic, but she likes the whole sex topic, but can't actually educate on, you know, the cycle and
break
stuff
it
like
down
that,
for you and
even
all
if
that.
She would try, it would actually be in the local language and it will not really sit so well with you because it's coming with some proverbs and some scary stuff. So she would take me from one elderly to the other. You know, when you go, they are like, so all these things, this process actually got me to keep myself to today. Okay, so even though it was scary for me, it actually did something to my life, and you know, so moving from one elderly woman to the other, and they're like, hey, they say why you're bi and things like that, and you know, when men are passing around, I'm like, cut the topic, okay? Everybody has it in school. Why is my looking so weird?
Yeah,
you know, and that was the socialization.
But that's also because you don't know their journeys too,
you know, right? Mm-hmm. So that was the socialization for me, and this whole thing of school dropout, you know, as a single parent child, you are not willing to go and get pregnant because, exactly, because your mom is actually working hard to make sure you have food. And the good thing was my mom went to every extent to make sure I had everything
that
I needed. And that was the greatest thing I ever had from my mom.
And you weren't going to disappoint her.
Exactly. Yeah. So what would be the excuse of chasing a guy and not to run away from the fact that I'll have feelings for my opposite sex as at that young age, like a crush type of thing? Because I remember in junior high school, there was this guy called Desmond. Mm. I'm just hoping he's not watching or listening.
<I'm Desmond. laughs>
And you know, he was pretty cute as at age 11. So this is where I actually found myself, or I realized I could actually have feelings towards someone or feel physically attracted to somebody. So I was in Form 1 and this guy would just come and pass by your decks and, you know, give you some eye. You don't actually know what he wants, but bro, like, go straight to the point. You like me, it's okay.
And you also liked him.
He actually didn't say
it. But you liked him.
In a way, you know. Because I don't get it.
It's so interesting. Even though I'm just saying, she's so denying
it. So I went home and I told my mom.
Oh, you did tell your mom.
I told my mom that, oh, there's this guy in my class and he looks at me some type of way. He looks like he likes me. And my mom, hey, wow, when she had dinner, won't bra me, bro, fear, no, say, you see, that kind of thing, I'm like, oh, this is actually a wrong move. I can't actually talk these things now. Yeah. So wow. I kept my feelings to myself. So growing up through to senior high school, even if you like someone, you keep it to yourself because you feel like this is not the right time for it. And my mom told me when I turn 18 years, then I can actually start saying, oh, this person looks nice.
Mm.
And not actually to say I'm dating this person because she feels I'm still young and decisions, I'll still have to be helped with my decision making and things like
of
that.
Of course.
So, yeah, that was actually.
Do you think she was wrong?
She was so right, honestly, because that's how come I am who I am today. Mm. So proud I can stand anywhere and talk about sex because I know the girl. Because I know the girl is so clean, you know. And this type of socialization has actually brought the best out of me and has given me this kind of confidence I have today. So actually, this was my journey.
Interesting. Oh my god! I mean, I remember when I was growing up, I was told that the moment a man touches you, you become pregnant. I think 2 days ago, I was having a conversation with a friend, and I was telling him how these things started, and I mean, yeah, you were put into that state where, so does it mean even if my brother touches me, I'll get pregnant? Because the mind hadn't really developed to understand this touching thing. And it wasn't going to be explained to you in any way. And then the worst happened to me when I asked, how are babies made? Look, I was sticking to my grandmother. Just that question. My grandmother too was going all over the place, you know, with it. And unlike you, at the time, well, we taught those in school. I think that, I mean, I asked these questions before the topic actually popped up in school, you know. So they managed to confuse me a little bit. They managed, but times have changed. When my children, I think, how old was this girl at the time? Like 6 or 7? Asked me, how are babies born? Am I ready to answer this question? Where am I going to start? Not that I can't, but question was, where do I start from? So, and you can, your kid, they're very, the kids these days, they're very smart. So I started trying to be dramatic. I go like, see, the woman's stomach will be very big, right? And you take her to the hospital. And sometimes, I said, sometimes they will have to split the tummy open and bring the baby out. That's not what they want. They know about this. Yes, they know that. They know at that age, they knew. And I was expecting that as kids, they would go like, hey, mommy, but that would be painful. No, they were so calm and collected. And the follow-up question was, and at other times, because they were expecting the first one, the first you didn't see. And you weren't telling them, so you've said your own. At other times, I believe you said sometimes. And at other times, in fact, I developed a cough. I wasn't ready. And it's okay to say that, okay, looking at your age and what you're asking me, I wasn't ready. And you were hounded. Mommy, you didn't answer the question. You didn't answer the question. So I had to prepare myself to answer the question. And I did. I mean, you had to sit them down, explain things, and then, you know, answer the questions. Their body parts, they will come. We had, you know, pseudo names for them when they were growing up. One day somebody walks up and say, is this how this thing is really called? And I said, no. So I mentioned the name. Okay. So now this is a girl. She's going to be me. She says, haven't you finished? Oh, mommy, I'm dabbing there. I am like, okay, you don't go saying these things all over the place. They asked, so if I can say my stomach, my mouth, why can't I? Because that's the name for it. What's so special about it? And you had to, again, go into the conversation to talk about the fact that, I mean, these are your private parts, and that's how come it is so hidden. You have to find ways to explain why. You can't be calling it all over the place like that. Let it rest and let it, you know, hide. And you grow on that. But in my home, I don't know what conversations we don't have. I don't know
no
what
holds barred.
No, you need to, because they are very they are ahead of you.
Yeah.
We talked about we had a conversation about you know, sex.
Mm.
And then somewhere somehow the subject of condoms came up, right? And then you go like, okay, this and this. And then someone says, oh, I know how it is used.
Wild.
And you're told that it is rolled over an erected penis. Like, I was like, ah.
Isn't my experience or my book?
They're watching so many things.
Yeah.
It's taught in the classroom.
Yeah.
And the teachings now is not like those before times where no,
right,
you have to be quite open with it.
Yeah,
they're studying proper biology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they are, I mean, and you're expected to really be open-minded and all that. Mm-hmm. So but then you're grateful to God that you can have these conversations with them and guide them. It's okay that you know,
yeah,
but there are times that you have to apply them and not now.
Yeah.
So I'm saying all of these things because if you're not, I mean, if your parents were parents of today, and come up at trauma pass somewhere, we are very much aware, you know. Let me come to you, Lois. Yes. Lois and I met in the in our kitchen, right? And we're having a conversation. I actually says, Adam, you don't. Now the pressure. I'm like, oh, but was it not the same woman who said that she says yes? Let's share that.
So mine.
Is she listening?
No. I made sure. She asked me this morning. Today is Saturday. You're up really early. Normally you leave at 8. I said, I have an appointment. Just so she doesn't know I'm seated here. So I'm sorry, mommy, but unfortunately you can't listen.
I'll take care. And forward the conversation.
Share a little bit.
Yeah.
So Adam, I grew up in a more religious home. I say religious because my dad is a pastor.
Oh.
And my mom.
Also,
yes, also for mommy. So that's, you know how that story goes.
I know.
Like, first of all, there's pressure mounted from church. And the fact that you have to live a certain type of way. Like, I tell people that you don't know how hard it is for pastors' children because everybody assumes that they are perfect and that they can't even do certain things.
Everybody thinks that you have to be perfect.
You have to be perfect.
Yeah.
And, like, you always have to be on point. So it's like recently, I was having a conversation with my mom, and I was like, do you know that I didn't know God till I got to SHS? Mm-hmm. And that was like SHS 2. Mm-hmm. And she was like, how? You grew up in the church, you were reading the Bible. And I was like, no, because I was doing it for you. Mm-hmm. You know, I went to church for you. I played the part for you. I'll go to church, I'll sing, I'll do everything. And all I was doing was because, okay, first of all, my parents. I have to keep my parents' image clean.
Oh, God. You people have been through this.
Yes. So, I have to keep my parents' image clean because, first of all, anything you do will come back to your parents. Like, right, from church members saying, oh, this girl, I didn't know that that's how she is. Hey, if the pastor's daughter is doing this, hey, then who am I not to do that? So it was like a lot of pressure for me. You couldn't have conversations because my parents, like, were brick. Even up to now, my parents are like a huge... It's now that my mom is coming down, because now I see how my mom acts with my little sisters. I'm like, who are you? What have you done with my mom? Because this is a total different mom. And I think it's because she's grown over time. But when she gave birth to me, at a point, I told her that I think my mom is wicked. Because anyway, my mom won't have conversations with me. She would... sought to, I won't say violence, but my mom would rather use anger to solve most of the issues and like fear. So for a long time, even into my teenage years, my early teenage years, I was scared of my mom.
Wow.
I won't talk to her about, we didn't have those things that people do. Oh, I love you, good night. No. Have a good day. No. How was your day? Barely. Once a while. If it's your birthday, then it's special. So your mom is asking, how was your day? But the rest of it, no. And also because my mom was conditioned to think that if you marry a virgin, everything is going to work good for you. So my mom grew up in a house where she was told that, you have to marry a virgin by force. And my mom broke her virginity at 28. The only man my mom has known is my dad. She got into marriage thinking that everything was going to be smooth. Got into it 2 years in, realized that it's not as smooth as they said it to be. So I think pressure to keep the the good look that everybody told her that she would see made her very hard on me. Exactly. So if I'm told that being a virgin religiously will give me all the good things in, you know, exactly, in marriage, my children have to be on point. Mm. So my mom and I weren't having conversations. My mom and I weren't doing how is school, how is everything looking for you. My mom never asked me, how are you feeling? The only time my mom will be compassionate is when I'm sick. Mm. Not because my mom is wicked.
Mm. This one is hard.
Yeah. If my mom is very compassionate, then I'm not feeling well. Or something. And mind you, my father is doing church stuff. Yeah. So my father wasn't even in the picture. My mom and I never had conversation. It's just that when my mom was too hard on me, he'll come in and say, you're doing too much. That's when I'll say my dad and I connected. But we never had conversations.
But you lived with them.
I lived with them. So I lived majority of my life on my own, in my head, all the thoughts, everything. And just like when I started menstruating, I woke up and I was scared to tell my mom. I knew about it. I had learned about it. I was a late bloomer. So mine started, in GHS 2. Mm. And then I go to my mom and I'm like, this is what it's like. I've started menstruating. I need pad. And she was like, when did you start? Mm. Blah, blah, blah. So she was rather panicking for me. I was like, why are you panicking? Like, I know these things. It's just that the idea of cramps hadn't sat in my head. So it started the next day. I was really cramping. I was on the floor. And then she comes and she says, this is what happened. She gives me at all, and that's all. She doesn't say anything again. She's like, now you're a woman. She calls a couple of my aunties. They tell me, now you're a woman. So yes, when a man comes to you, don't allow. Right now, he can destroy your life. So Adam, for me, my mom and I, it was a big break. I didn't talk sex. I didn't talk about my life. My mom doesn't know me. It's now that my mom is getting to know me. She doesn't know me, and I know I used to cry a lot, like in my early teenage years, because there were so many things. I'll get emotional. Like, there were so many things I wanted to tell my mom, because I'll see it and I'll be like, mommy, this is what's happening to me. Like, but I couldn't explain. And then it made me look like deviant. No, it's made me look like a very deviant child, because I had so many pent up emotions. I ended up doing the very things my mother thought I shouldn't do. So the conversation she didn't have with me, I was having with myself. And then myself told me that, okay, it's good to do this. So I was a tomboy. So I'll go about, instead of being in my classroom, I'm going around with boys, because be with boys. And then we'll go out, like, we won't sit in the classroom, we'll go and roam, come back. I wasn't learning much, and all of those things. So it took a toll on me, my mentors. I couldn't tell my mom anything. I couldn't tell anybody anything. Mind you, church, who are you going to tell? Because obviously, when you're done having the conversation with that church member, they're calling your mom like, hey, Obano, this is what she's saying. So for me, I had a lot of conversations in my head that I couldn't have with my mom. Yeah. Fast forward, I turn 22, and my mom is in my face like, you're growing. And I think that's where you've reached. You can start bringing men.
Just like that.
Yeah, I'm telling you, like, there was no conversation. Like, no. It's like my mom waited for me to get to uni. After uni, then my mom says, okay, now you're done with school. So the next thing, now that you're working, the next thing is you have to bring a man home, and, you know, you have to get married, because nowadays menopause starts very early and I want to carry my grandchildren. I'm like,
oh my goodness.
Okay, no, this one is.
And I'm like, madam, can you like relax and let's have
this switch is a very interesting one.
It was a serious switch. You know, she tried having this conversation with me when I was in level 200. Okay. My dad was around, and then my dad got pissed and went to her and said, why are you having this conversation? She's not even done with school.
Wow.
So if you think my mom was a brick, my dad was a whole mansion. Like, my dad and I, we don't have conversations. Up to now, my dad and I are not really, you know. And I'm only thankful that the things I knew, because I learned a lot of the things on my own. Mm-hmm. I realized that now, okay, when I do this, I get into trouble. And also, my mom has scared me. You have to be a virgin, else your life will not look good. If you don't, like, marry a virgin, like, things will go wrong for you. And when you get pregnant, nobody's going to like you. No man is going to come for you. So I only kept my virginity for a long time because, okay, my mom said, if I do this, it will harm me. But then after, like, when I turned, like, 16, 17, I was like, no, if I keep my virginity, I'm keeping it for myself. Mm-hmm. And this was a phase where I had started learning more about myself. I had started knowing God for myself. You know, SHS and university, you are living alone. You are not really under your parents' umbrella for them to be telling you everything to do. My parents didn't even, like, my dad's church, you don't wear jeans. But then I was like, no, like, this is me. I'm not going to live two lives for you.
Like, that one, they would have sucked you from
the house. No. So there was... When I got to uni, then I was like, no.
Because a day me is a trouser.
Yeah. I was like, I went home with the trousers because I said, I don't like to live two lives. I have done that too much, like, in my life. I have done too many things growing up. And it's because I was living double. So when I go to church, I'm an angel. When I'm in my own corner, you don't know what I have
you
done.
Are who you,
you
are.
Know? Yes. So I ended up living, like, double lives. And then this time I went home with my trousers and I was like, mommy, daddy, this is what I wear in school. And I'm not about to sit down and let some... Because even when I say wearing...
You mean when you're in the university?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Because in the uni, I was like... when I go to uni, even when I wear the jeans, I'm quite scared. Because I'm like, hey, what if a church member meets me? And I was like, no, this is too much. Like, this is too much for me. So I went to them and I told them, mommy, daddy, this is what I wear in school. If anybody calls you, please let them know that you know and I've told you. Not because I want to disrespect you, but this is the easiest, like, this is the easiest pick me up you can wear. And it's even decent because when I wear a dress, I'm not thinking about how to sit, what I'm doing. And I don't like that. It's not comfortable for me. It was hard. My parents didn't talk to me for months.
Are you serious?
For months, my dad didn't want to see me. He said I was disgracing him. The church members would not want anything to do if he's preaching in the church that she didn't wear this. Who am I? And it was a lot for me also. So even we are five. Ah. We are five and then there are four people behind me. My mom, it's now that my mom is getting aware that, okay, she's done us wrong for a long time. And she's trying to do damage control. Because I ended up murdering my younger ones. Especially my mom gave birth to four girls.
Ooh.
And just the boy. And the boy is behind me.
You're the older one.
And I'm the older one. So the boy, the girls come to me, ask me all the hard questions that your daughters are asking you. And I'm having to play mommy
to them.
So I'm telling them, and sometimes I'm like, am I doing it the right way? Because it took a lot for me to also get comfortable. Because when they started coming to me, I'm like, we are not having this conversation. Wow. Then it hits me that this is what my mom did to me. For a long time, I didn't have anybody to talk to. I didn't have anybody to share experiences with. One day, I went, I had an infection that I didn't even know I had.
Oh,
when I go to the washroom and I pee, I see blood, and I couldn't tell anybody. And then for months, I couldn't tell them anything. One day I went to school and I fainted. And then they took me to the hospital. My mom came and then saw that, okay, this is what's happening to her daughter. And then she broke down. And it's because we've not had this conversation. She's like, how many months have you kept this? And I'm like, oh.
I'm sorry.
No. And she's like, how many months have you kept this? I'm like, oh, for like a long time because I didn't know how to tell you. I felt like when I tell you, you think...
you've done something.
Yeah. That's a guy had gone there and it wasn't really that. Nobody had gone there. I was genuinely scared. Like every day I woke up scared that, what if I die? What if something happens to me on the way, you know? So for me, it was like, I always say I had a very terrible upbringing. Not because I don't love my parents. There's little ways my parents make me know that, okay,
they love me,
you know? And I'm like, okay, they still do care, but... It wasn't.
Now I am feeling very bad. You know that. I am feeling very bad and guilty because I remember telling her that. I mean, I don't know. Just out of the blue, I said, "I'll take you out for lunch so we have a chance." We met in the kitchen again. And I said, and then she's asked me twice, "Adam, our date?" And you're just making me look like, "Oh no, I haven't made time for you. I'm so sorry."
Oh no, Adam, it's okay.
Next week we will do that. Sure.
So that switched to moving from all this trauma to saying, "Okay, bring your man home for me." I was like, "No,
I'm not bringing any
man." Yeah. I was like, "No." One day I intentionally went in and I was like, you scared me. Like, for a long time, you told me not to look at men, so I don't even know how to talk to men. For me to even bring them home, I can't even, I don't know, when men approach me, I don't know how to talk to them. And I saw my mom grow very, like, scared and, like, it's like regrets.
What have I done to
you? Regrets. And it was just recently, I think last week, that I sat with my mom and I told her that I've been through a lot that she doesn't know that I've been through. Oh. And I had to be strong for her because my dad also ended up falling sick. Also, a big majority, the reason I've not really had a conversation with my dad is because my dad has been sick for about like 15, 16 years. Oh. So my dad's sickness made it very difficult for us to communicate. Oh. So most of the thing was on my mom. So I also understand my mom because I'm raising 5 kids on your own with no stable job.
Yeah.
You know, and my mom is like a single parent because my dad, you know, I'm not saying my dad doesn't care. You know, he's not in the position to do so. So my mom is mothering 5 children. Oh, first of all, she's inexperienced because, as I told you, the only man she knows is my dad.
Which is okay.
Yes. And recently we are having conversations. She's telling me how for 16 years she's not been actively, you know, seen as a woman. If you get what I mean.
Yeah,
so
I
yes, for so we've had candid conversations now that make me understand
all the things.
And right now my mom is my best friend, and now I see her talking to my sisters. They still can't have certain conversations with her, but she's willing. Yes. Like sometimes I say, I'm like, what happened to you? You know, it's just like it's time. And I think she's also learned, and she's seen how her first daughter turned out. Last time she asked, she was like, she's shocked that I even turned out like this,
but
knowing how difficult.
Good.
Yeah, knowing how, and I'm so proud of myself. Sometimes I'm like, I didn't think I'll make it.
Well, I'm so proud of you. Oh my world.
But yeah, so it's traumatic, but
at least we've had it, and now
the pressure is mounting. My mom is a twin, and she and her twin keep calling me like, "Oh, yeah, Olechichilo," like that's Ewe, Olechichilo. I'm like, I know.
This will allow. You're only 25. This will allow. Wow. This is Chris.
That's full. Right?
you're flanked by two beautiful women. Hearing a lot of stories this morning. Wow.
So
I'm coming. I'll come back to you. To be very honest, I wasn't expecting such candid conversations from my guests. No way. And if you're a parent out there, this conversation is for you. I'm not sure where you are with your children. I'm not sure what conversations you're having, but you need to be there. You need to be there, seriously. And I mean, you're listening to Lois, you've listened to Ajua, and you can also tell that parents have had their own experiences. They're going through their own challenges, and we don't know it all. We're not Jesus, like, we don't know it all. And sometimes it is, where do I start from? And like Chris also said, right, some of you are extremely curious. The things you say they shouldn't do, they want to know why you said they shouldn't do them. Mm-hmm. So the child wants to go, and why are they saying I should not do this? And then in trying to understand or know more, they say curiosity kills the cat.
Right.
And if you don't take care, you're going to learn it the wrong way. So parents are wondering, what do I say? What do I not say? How far can I go? How far can I not go? And sometimes if they are very uncomfortable, then they build this wall that Adeyemi is talking about.
Right.
And then they would rather raise you in fear.
Mm-hmm.
So they put fear into you. You can't come, you can't talk about it, and they're expecting that you have listened and you're doing, because all they have done is warn you. And as a child, you're supposed to heed to the warnings.
Exactly.
But listening to you, we are understanding that. And Dr. Asafo also said it. There's so much ongoing with our young ones. They would need an avenue to talk, an avenue to vent.
Mm-hmm.
We thank God that you guys have turned out so well. Because there are some who don't.
Yeah.
Last week I had a conversation. I'll find time and bring them to the studio. Some young girls. Mm-hmm. And one of them mentioned that she started doing drugs because she was depressed. Mm. When I met her, she was 22. Mm. And she had done drugs for 5 years. I go, so at what age did you realize you were depressed? She was down. And then she thought the best thing to do was to go to the ghetto and go and get drugs, because they had been educated in school mm-hmm. about substance abuse yeah. and what mm-hmm. it tends to do to you. I mean, the euphoria it creates and all that. So if I am feeling this way, then for her, yeah. I'd want to experience the euphoria and feel better. So she went, she got it. And yes, she was high. It excited her. She felt it calmed her down. And that became it. Mm. You should see mm. her before and now photos. She was deformed. 5 years. Sometimes that's what she'll have the whole day. She gets money. That's all she wants to do. You should see her. It's now that she's getting better because she's in rehab, you know. And so if you're not talking to them, drawing them close, and we're not creating the avenue for them to talk, you may not be lucky. Mm. Like your parents mm-hmm. are, and then your child may fall into the wrong hands
right.
and are introduced to the wrong things. So we're just pleading. You don't know your cry, encourage them to talk, mm-hmm. and then we will learn and be able to, you know, raise you people better. Oh. I'm a power the year. It's been like, I make slow sex. Wow. But I thank God for your lives, though. I'm going to come to you shortly, and then we'll talk about, you know, okay, so now that you're here, bring your man home, What conversations, or bring your woman home, what conversations are they having with you beyond you can have a friend?
Right.
Fortunately, they have been married in relationships, so are they opening up on relationship conversations with you? Does it sound like you're being prepared for that relationship as well, or it is also just bring the person home and we leave it there? Mm. We'll get into that. Ejuman is so wrong. I will lie to you. Hi. Apart from that, we have to work, we have to look for money, yeah. we have to pay bills, yeah. and it's not just you, mm-hmm. there are other ones and all that. So, Chale, it'll not be easy. We all have to, we have to try. You, the children, too. You, too, you have to try. Yeah. yeah. So, are you ready for the dance party of a lifetime? The Rotary Club of Accra Airport, Rotary and Ajua, and they have shared their experiences. Very emotional experiences, you know, with us. And for me here, it's just important that, I mean, that's my takeout from this conversation. It's important that parents, we try to be present. Be present and listen to your children. Be present and have the conversations with them, no matter how hard it is. You won't have it. What should they do? Lois just said that for years, she lived in her head. She lived her life on her own. She lived with both parents, but lived alone. That should be very traumatic and very traumatizing for any child. And if we are listening as parents, then we should take a cue and say that we don't want our children to go through that. I mean, you are just only lucky that you still have your child by the time you're waking up, you know. Because it could be dire in certain circumstances. Yeah. Chris, you wanted to make a point.
I wouldn't say it's surreal, but I don't have, immediate female siblings. I don't have sisters.
Oh, okay.
It was until my father remarried that I got a stepsister. So hearing all of these stories in terms of, you know, traditionally how African mothers treat puberty when it comes to the female child, it's all new information, really. Because even the friends that I was having conversations with around that time, they wouldn't be telling you this. Mm. Most often than not, they are letting you know about these things when it's already started. And they are sort of like pros in it. And maybe they have their all-female clique and they can have conversations around them. They've already been warned not to talk to us anyway. So you can't even start conversations like that with them. So hearing this for the first time is...
Also because girls are good at hiding. Girls are really good at... I think people think that guys are the cunning ones. I'm like, have you met women? Like, ladies are really good at hiding things. Like, feelings, emotions. We are really good at doing that. I don't know how we do it, but very strongly, women know how to hide. That's why we don't tell. Do you understand? So you can see somebody and say, oh, this person is so, like, she looks really good. Like, nothing is wrong with it. I'm telling you, she's fighting mental battles that you don't know.
To be frank, this is the first time I've had any conversation on the cycle and not felt some type of way.
Ah, you feel some type of way.
Always.
My 40-year-old hasn't feel some type of way.
No. Because the way it's described, I feel it. Like, I feel my tummy, you know, because they talk about the cramp, the twist, and all of those things, and I'm like...
I thought it's looking at you like...
No, when I say I feel it, I don't mean I get... No, I understand your physical pain.
You should go to the labor ward with your wife when she's about
to... Exactly.
I don't even like hospitals in the first place. That would be a struggle. I hate blood.
A lot of men have tried it and collapsed.
I don't like blood. I don't like hospital. I don't like all of these things.
There's a message that says that the young lady has really got me thinking that I have to wake up in my relationship with my 17-year-old daughter who is going to SHS 3. Mm. All I could tell her is, I love you. Take good care of yourself and focus on your books for a better future. Mm. Now I have to find every means and to get more closer to her for more conversations. Thank you very much. And this is from Isaac. Well, this is all we want these conversations to do, to help you know that Lois, you've gone through a lot. Seriously, you've gone through so much. Now, so I want to find out from you guys, now that we are here, right?
Hey.
By the grace of God, we have gone through that stage. I mean, as challenging as it may have been, God has seen us through it.
Right.
Lois, I'm very happy that relationship with mommy is mended now to an extent. Your best friends, you can talk. She's doing better with your siblings, and you won't hold it against her ever.
Not at all.
Beautiful. And especially now that you also understand her struggles, you see. I thank God that she still has you at this time.
I am very
grateful to God for that. And for you, you know, Ajua as well. Mommy struggled with the subject. Yeah. I like the fact that she likes the whole subject. Everybody struggles with that. You know, and then Chris also. I thank God also for your life. That in as much as you were very curious and knew things and did and tried things, mommy and daddy still have
that side.
Did and tried things.
I kid you not.
Present evidence.
I kid you not, you know. But now that we're here though, I want to find out. Would you say that your parents are doing better, ushering you into that next phase of life that they are expecting to see you?
Yeah.
They want to see you in a steady relationship now.
Right.
And then be married and then have your own family. I'm sure it's same with all of you.
Yeah.
What conversations are they having with you ahead of that stage they're expecting to see you in now? And again, I'll start with you, Chris.
Sorry to disappoint you, but I don't think we are there yet.
Still?
Yeah.
But it's been demanded of you.
No, we...
Mommy hasn't asked when you're getting married.
No. I have to present the subject. No one...
Tell me about it.
So, I was listening to Lois and...
Wow.
I could relate in a way. Because I'm also from a religious home. My dad... Growing up, we'll be hearing, Elder Kumi, now senior minister Kumi, you know, my mom was a choir star.
Chris,
we used to have those, what you call it, the cassettes.
Mm.
So all the gospel songs that, you know, Tego sisters, Susie and Marjane and Benny Sini Thompson, Moses OK, Noble Nketi, all of those things. I had the cassette, there was a sharp tape at home, you play, you rewind, you learn the song. So I was that kind of a person. So I was easily relating with whatever Lois, you know, was going through, or, you know, as she narrated. Till date, I still do not have that relationship with any of them.
Wow.
My mom is a bit more relaxed, I should say. So I was able to, you know, at one time let her know, okay, this is who I'm with. Even visited her at a point. And so she was trying to, you know, bond with her and all of those things. But we never had an actual conversation on, when are you getting married? Now that you are old, you know, you need to do this, you need to do that. No, it's never happened.
Wow.
I'm still alone.
Oh, okay. That's really shocking. Are you the older son?
Yeah.